You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Solari. This is what they sound like. Enjoy. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is John, and I have Solari in the studio. I actually have all three of them, although one of them is here via the phone.
Hi there.
She can speak right into the phone.
Hello.
It'll come through. So, Just real quick, this whole idea of a rock trio, I was thinking, you know, it used to be that bands were like huge and you had to have the guitar player and the bass player and the drummer and the singer and the backup vocals and everything like that. And now it seems like bands are getting smaller and smaller and smaller because people can play multiple instruments and multi-track and stuff like that. I noticed on your MySpace page, I think Failure is one of your
that's
influences.
Absolutely, my biggest musical influence that only, we apply to the
There's only two guys in that, right?
There were two guys, and then they'd hire a drummer and another guitarist, so...
So how long have you guys been together?
Josh and I, like four.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years, me and Tony, and then Christine joined us about a year ago.
Christine, can you hear us, by the way?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can
That's
hear you just fine. You
need to
hold up there. So you're stuck at work today, huh? So what do you contribute to the band?
What was that?
What do you contribute to the band?
Well, let's see. I'm kind of, I think I'm a balance to Josh. Actually, I think Josh and I sometimes end up on the opposite end of an argument. Probably, I don't know, 90% of the time. and Tony's kind of in the middle. So I think that artistically, you know, I kind of provide a lot of the balance. I contribute writing-wise and bass-wise. So, I mean, a three-piece is good for that because everyone kind of has their own realm. And I think that's an important thing in this band, especially because Josh happens to be super, super hard on guitar players.
Yeah.
So that's always been an issue.
He's smirking. I don't know that he agrees.
No, I totally agree. I'm really hard on guitar players. It's hard to be in a band with me as a guitarist. But like she said, she brings balance, I think, mostly to me because I go off on tangents and pretty extreme. I extremely feel this way or I extremely feel that way from day to day, and she kind of keeps it down to earth, you know?
And did you guys just organically form as a trio, or is this your baby and then you found people?
I think it kind of started as my baby, and then, you know, the more I got to know Tony, it became, you know, equal to Tony. And then when Christine joined, it's certainly equal between all three of us now. And we try to make it that way as much as possible. So.
And Tony, tell me about the experience of joining Solari and being the percussive part of it.
Well, Josh and I met in Minneapolis, and right away it was a good connection. Josh, he says he's hard on guitars, but he's also hard on drummers.
That's very true.
The experience has been good. I've learned a lot from Josh. I've learned a lot just from being in a band situation. Personalities.
How long have you guys been together as Solari?
About a year. I was off touring with Melissa Oftemauer, and then I came back, and that's kind of where we kind of had a band going before I left to do that, but I was gone a year and we were trying to do something entirely different. And when I came back, we kind of all had grown or moved sideways, however you want to look at it. Just basically changed as musicians and what we wanted and that sort of thing. So we decided to just kind of change the whole project, start all with all new songs, like a new name, like everything new. So basically we've been together doing this about a year.
And have you been playing out live?
Yeah, we've played about 15 shows now. Just the past couple of shows were more serious ones where we took it seriously. The other ones we were just kind of trying to, you know, get out of our practice space and see how that felt. But now we're really starting to try to get a fan base, and you know, we're about to release an EP, and you know, I think that'll really help us gather fans. You know,
sure.
But we've been playing shows and that's been fun.
Hey, Christine, what's your take on playing live with these guys?
Well, it's definitely, again, I think the three piece it allows us to kind of bring out our own personalities. I think a lot of the times we've seen three pieces and we kind of say, hey, that really makes a statement. You know, it's kind of saying we can stand on our own. A lot of us who are in bands, I think one of my first bands, we had like 5 people, and it was kind of comforting because, you know, I was one of like 3 guitar players, I think, in that band, and it wasn't a big deal if you messed up or if you, didn't have your pedal working or whatever, because it was mostly just an onslaught of noise.
Right.
But I think a three-piece is kind of like, you know, again, we each have our own thing that we're doing, contributing, and it's kind of, it's more pressure. I think I read like an interview with Eric Clapton recently, where he said being in Cream again when they reunited was like a huge burden on him compared to playing with a 16-piece band or whatever, what he's used to. So
yeah, right, because all ears on you.
The eight guitarists he's usually playing with on stage.
And, yeah, especially for Josh. He's got a lot riding on him. He's got the vocals and the guitars, which, you know, the stuff he writes is not really the easiest stuff sometimes. So.
And thematically, do you guys all contribute to, like, I was looking at your MySpace page and you have all this stuff about the Discovery Channel and things like that. Is that a collective concept, or is there somebody who comes up with the ideas behind the music?
We're all pretty into that, you know, the space and science, and I mean all types of science really. And Christine does all the artwork, which I think she does a fantastic job. But
thanks, Christine.
As far as conceptually, yeah, we all contribute to that.
And you guys have a presence on the web. You have the myspace.com/Solari. You also have solari3.net.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good-looking website. Was it, Christine, were you involved in putting that together?
Oh, yeah, that's my little thing. I mean, that's, I think, baby. I spent, like, a lot of time when Josh was on the road doing that. But I remember, like, the quintessential moment when, like Josh mentioned, I think it was before he left on tour. One day he came up to me. He was like, let's just do it. And I'm like, do what? And he's like, change our name to Solari. And I'm like, all right. And then, like, along with it was all these kind of, we're really inspired by, you know, natural stuff. We're kind of naturalists, I guess you could say. So themes like space and sun and photosynthesis and really nerdy things. That's kind of what drives us. And, you know, we can really be sincere about it because those are the kinds of things we're really interested in. Not as much, and you can apply those things to, I think, everyday life, and profound to us, so we're all behind that message.
And not to be cheesy, but like pretty much every day, especially in the winter, I try to make it out to see the sunset. We have the luxury of living in Santa Monica, really close to the beach, so I go watch the sunset every day, and I just look at the sun and realize that, you know, a lot of times we see it as this big happy thing, and it lights the, you know, kind of like just happiness and sunshine, but it's not that. It's this glowing fireball in space, and that's just so cool and inspiring when you look at the sun and you see the fire in the sun. Like I said, not to sound cheesy or corny, but it's really something. It's something we take for granted.
Definitely.
And it really is just, I mean, it, without it, there's nothing. There's no life. There's, I mean, so it's really everything. I mean, if it's kind of God in a way.
Well,
you know,
I've told all my friends, I like to joke that it's sort of true. Like, I plan on raising my kids to worship the sun because it's the easiest thing
it makes
to
sense.
Explain. You know, it it's creates like, life. It explains night and day. You know, if you expose yourself too much to it, it will kill you.
Right.
You know,
it's always present, I mean, on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you live in the North or South Pole or anywhere near.
Yeah. And I noticed one of your influences is the Flaming Lips, and I can hear a little bit of that in your music. And I was thinking how funny that the album, The Soft Bulletin, almost every song is about the sun crashing into the earth and finding a way to lift it up. You know?
Yeah.
So so there is something special about the idea of the rock star nerd, because it's not, you know, all your songs aren't about, you know, love or lost love or found love or current love, but...
Right.
More conceptual stuff, which is great.
It's definitely more fun to write that. You know, I mean, we try to sometimes relate, you know, our lives to the songs, but they're usually analogies, you know, using space. So far, that's what they are. So,
what are some of your best and worst experiences playing live and introducing your music? How are people responding to it?
Well, this
last show.
Our last show, I literally was getting shocked in the mouth the whole show.
Oh, wow.
So,
I saw that in a movie once. That actually happens to people?
Yeah, it really hurts, too.
Oh, that's awful.
So it just, obviously, that ruins the entire show. So every time I'd go up to the mic, I'd get a shock in the mouth. So that's, I mean...
Was it just like reaching out like a lightning bolt?
I don't know, but that's what it feels like, yeah. And it's pretty powerful.
You should write a song about it.
It's very powerful. Your face is a conductor, basically.
And yeah. That's a great title for a song.
I know. I had something, I put it cooler the other day, but I just can't remember what it was. But yeah, that sucks.
It was funny, the venue told us that there was no ground on that wall.
After the show, of course. You know.
That sounds vaguely illegal, I don't know.
Yeah, that's bad. But yeah, that was one bad experience. We've definitely had our share of bad experiences already just playing 15 shows, mostly technical things, but, you know.
Mostly with backaches.
Yeah.
But what about positive feedback? Got any yet?
Yeah. very little. But
we need our EP.
Yeah, it's hard. Most of the time, the positive feedback comes with, you know, can we buy a record? And it's like, mm-hmm. not yet, and that's kind of frustrating. But we're very close to that and to being able to sell a record. And so I think that will pay off for us then, you know, the positive side.
Are you guys more of a live act or a recording artist? Do you spend a lot of time in the studio?
You know, it's been new to us. I think the four songs that we recorded has been, I think, a huge lift for Josh. Experience in the sense of just getting his ideas out. In the last song, Christine and Josh did alone together, and it turned out awesome. Like, they really worked together well in the studio.
It's been equal parts. I mean, that's one of the things about a band is it's really a full-time job trying to you know, balance playing live shows and recording. It's very hard. I mean, if you want to be good at either. And I certainly think live shows way more important, because if you get a good live show, you can kind of sustain a fan base. You can support yourself, you know. So.
Well, John, I think you mentioned the Flaming Lips, and that's actually, it's pretty much, as far as we look at it, the highest kind of bar that can be set for live. I don't know if you've ever seen them live.
Well, what's interesting about them is they almost never play live.
Well, we've.
But when they do, they put on a huge production.
Yeah, I think Josh and I were on a cruise recently. They did like a cruise, for instance.
They hosted a
cruise.
Yeah, we went to that. We're huge fans of Flaming Lips, and
that's awesome.
Most of the time, again, like this band, we're trying to look at things a little bit differently. We're going to try and bring more to the show than what's expected, and try to realize what we're going to do. What we're not comfortable doing. It's kind of, again, that's all a learning experience. You know, some bands are comfortable getting in people's faces, and, you know, other bands kind of like to keep to themselves and just let the music and let the aura of the show kind of take over, and that's kind of what we're learning. But I think the idea that the Flaming Lips show is something beyond just a show, just a band show. It's kind of, it incorporates the audience. It kind of elevates above, I think, the average rock show that you're used to going into and kind of just standing around and getting beer spilled on your feet. And those are the kinds of things we think about in terms of long-term goals for our live show. So it's a big thing for us that we're working on. It takes a lot of work.
If Solari really takes off, or you know, take a look behind you, make sure your supervisor's not listening.
Yeah.
But, are you going to quit? Are you going to devote yourself to
the
band?
Yeah, I mean, it's. We got some advice from Ken Andrews from Failure once, and he said his advice was, do as much as you can on your own for the longest period of time that you can. And those are, it's always hard decisions to make, like, you know, when, you know, what kind of money making should I do? How committed should I be to making money and bringing it to the band? And it's kind of a sad state of affairs these days with the music industry, where people who are working day jobs a lot of times will be able to do more for their band in that capacity than if the band were actually signed. So, you know, yeah, I think music I'd like to, you know, make into my career, obviously. I think, you know, everyone would like the opportunity to do that. It's pretty much a blessing. So hopefully that time will come.
And we certainly feel like we're in the right place. I mean, it's great to tour and all of that, but there's really not a lot of point in touring to go play for 12 people in, say, Omaha instead of Los Angeles. It's like, you know, that's why we all moved out here. We're all from the Midwest, and we came out here because it's like, this is the place you gather the resources and you know, you can get a deal, you can get backing and do some of the, you know, the bigger production stuff, which is what we're all interested in. Definitely a visual show as well, like film and that sort of thing. But, you know, it takes money and time, and that's back to the Flaming Lips. You know, they're the biggest inspiration for that sort of thing.
Do you see yourselves as major label artists, or do you think getting picked up on something small, or maybe just doing your own, creating your own
I think it could happen any of those ways. I think we just got to kind of search around in the dark until we stumble on something, you know. And I think we'll know it. We'll probably get screwed over by labels and financial backing.
Certainly.
And, I mean, that's just like that's just how that goes. I think for me, I just want to, I do want to tour, and I want to tour supporting another band. I want to play in front of people when we tour. If we can like tour around the world, I mean, doing this, I really don't care about making money at it. I really just want to go play and see the world again and again and again. So that's all I want out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. But the money, you know, that'd be okay too.
So I mean, yeah, to get a major label deal, that'd be great, you know, because you then have, like, better booking agents and that sort of thing.
Well, Josh got his eyes opened, I think, when he went with Melissa Auftemauer on tour. He really learned a lot about the concept of major label, big name, and what that really means. And I think at the end of the day, what we all, in our maturity and having played in a zillion bands, we've all learned that you really just have to have really good songs, really good live show, and then everything will fall into place.
And if it doesn't, at least we'll be happy, you know. At least then we'll feel good about what we're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, Christine, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all right.
I'd like to hear more from the drummer. Like, how do you, Tony, how do you put your voice into the band as opposed to just keeping the beat for another rock band? How does what you do and your style of drumming affect what Solari is?
Over time, I've learned that there's more influence in arguing than actually playing. You know? You argue out the ideas and argue your side. I don't know.
So I guess it's more conceptual is what you're saying?
Yes.
It's more like
yes.
Just having your personality influence the way the band puts itself together?
Yes.
Interesting. Spoken like a true drummer.
Oh, poor drummers.
Well, cool. When are you guys playing next?
I believe we're playing Silver Lake Lounge again on March 22nd. I think that'll be our next show. We're going to the studio this weekend to do one last song for our 5-song EP, which I keep talking about, and that'll be called The Story of the Moon. Which is also a song title on the, and that's the title track, and which we'll play hopefully, and so yeah, we're just basically writing right now and recording, finishing that up, and then we'll start playing again in March.
All right. Well, then, for the sake of all our listeners and fans, well, I guess we should probably move on to some music.
Sure.
Let Christine get back to work, and we'll play a couple tracks from your CD, and also you're going to play some acoustic stuff for us.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Thank you so much for calling in and being a part of this.
No problem.
Interview.
Thank you very much for having us. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, take care.
So, you want to play a recording?
Wait, now that Christine's gone, what, you guys have any dirt
any dirt on?
Seriously. Yeah, why don't we play a recording so you can tune up while that's playing?
Sounds good.
And then, you know, we'll chat about that and listen to some music. You're listening to Solari on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org.
Thank you.
was Holophoner by Solari, who is my guest today on Is Good on killradio.org. Josh of Solari is going to play us an acoustic track now, live here in the studio. We're going to do a little mic check, make sure everything is working appropriately.
Check, check, check. Hey, hi, everybody.
Sounds good to me.
Cool. All right.
All right, you're listening to Solari on Is Good on killradio.org.
Find my way back home. Cold. This planet is frozen to its core. And to this place I'm insignificant, and I'm running out of oxygen. Navigator won't work anymore. Alone, I've got to make it on my own. Unknown. Just where I've gone. So I'll build a fire and repair this ship. I'll restore all of my oxygen, and I have to find my own way home. And if I can't find
Excellent. You've been listening to Solari on Is Good on killradio.org. So we were talking before about how you did some songs that were, it was just you and the bass, right? It was vaguely acoustic. You did some songs in your live act. You mentioned before maybe one or two songs. It was just you and Christine.
Yeah, actually, the next one that's queued up probably on the CD is something Christine and I did in the studio. It's kind of like old-timey, very influenced by Elvis. Like, I get very influenced by, like, 40s, 50s music a lot. I think that kind of comes through in the next song, which is called...
What about the Beatles? Oh. You didn't mention the Beatles.
Well,
we don't like the Beatles.
No, it's true. I've never had a band in here say they weren't influenced by the Beatles.
Right,
It'd be, like, experimental electronica, and they'd be like, oh, Beatles, all the way.
Right, right. before I was 8 years old, I honestly, I don't think I knew there was another band besides the Beatles. So, like, yeah, I think they're so deeply ingrained that I don't even think of them, you know, because it's like,
yeah,
duh. You know, it's like the most influential, definitely.
Is this a regular feature of Solaria, you think, where you have full band sets and then more acoustic, unplugged things? Are we going to see any of that on your album?
I would like to do stuff like that, certainly. I mean, I have a lot of... I have so many songs, it's, like, really hard to even imagine. But,
hundreds.
Yeah, some of those songs...
Yeah, literally hundreds?
Literally hundreds. Yeah, a lot of those are just me and an acoustic, or, mm-hmm. you know, me and Christine. Christine and I have done a few country songs, even, like, really, like, old-timey country. She's actually really into that sort of thing, so that's a lot of fun, too. It's hard to know what to bring into Solare because, you know, we want to have a sound and we're going for something. But I don't know. I think we'll search that out and we'll know what to release when and what to do. But right now we're just doing rock shows.
But in terms of extending your boundaries, are you guys open to alternative instruments? Do you guys ever include keyboards?
Yeah,
or
actually, keyboards,
effects,
and
or samples or anything like that.
Yeah, we play along to tracks, pre-recorded tracks, because we want to stay a three-piece. We want to be a three-piece.
But sound like a 16-piece.
Right.
Yeah, but sound a lot bigger. And so, yeah, there's lots of keyboards in our stuff. And I this sort of thing, like playing in a studio, if we had a little bit more time, I would love to just not play guitar at all. And even our guitar-driven songs, just do keyboards. Just do something entirely different with it. It would mm-hmm. be a lot more fun, you know. But to answer, that's a long answer. The short answer is yes.
Well, you're lucky, though, because you have a large body of work, but you're just starting out, so you can take risks. And
right.
You know, probably a lot of bands that are established, they come out with something that's not really within whatever subcategory they've been placed to. It's like, oh, I can't listen to that. What is that, a country song? You know, it's
right,
like,
right.
They suck, you know.
Totally.
So, yeah, so that's a good position to be in.
Yeah, it's nice to have a huge library to pull from, you know.
Do you want to go right into another song, or do you want to play something off your CD?
Let's play something off the CD.
Cool. What are we about to hear? Do you know?
The next song is called Your Backyard at Night, and that's just the one that Christine and I did recently. And, yeah.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Solaria on Is Good with John Hirschfield on killradio.org, and we'll be right back with some more live stuff.
It's not what we want, but it's probably for
back with Solari. That's a nice track, actually.
Thank
I
you.
Like that.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about what possessed you to just up and pick up a guitar and do music.
My father played, when he was in high school, he was a singer in a band, and like a rhythm and blues band called the Corsairs.
Corsairs, I like that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
The Corsairs.
I have this great picture of them.
That's awesome.
What's that?
The Corsairs, that was the name of the
Corsairs, band? Corsairs, yeah, which is an airplane, I guess.
Oh, Corsair. I was thinking Corsairs, you haven't shaved. Yeah.
And then he went off to Vietnam and whatever. Then he came back and started playing keyboards and guitar just to play, just like Hank Williams, that sort of thing. And, I saw him playing all the time and naturally wanted to mimic my dad. So I started playing guitar first. And I really just didn't even know what hit me when I started playing. Like, it totally consumed my life from like 14 years old on. And that's as long as I can remember I've been playing. So that's why my dad.
That's funny. You just got me thinking. My dad's a psychiatrist, and it kind of explains a lot all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I like to bring people in the studio, analyze what they do.
Them, yeah.
Tell me about your experience, Tony. Like picking up drumsticks. You could even do it into the mic if you wanted.
Yeah, I
seeing it's there and everything.
I don't know. My mother played piano, and she tried to push that, but I didn't have the patience for it. And I always wanted to play the drums, but they didn't want a drum set in the house. So I guess as soon as I moved away from the house, I started playing drums.
And was it always rock drums?
It started off like very eclectic, from jazz to, Latin and funk and stuff like that more.
Cool.
And then I moved in with some friends that they were heavy rock. Stoner rock, metal, stuff like that. And that definitely influenced me. And when I met Josh, it was a mixture of that and, singer-songwriter stuff. It was cool.
Everything from, like, Jeff Buckley to Nine Inch Nails, I tried to push on him just to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He pushed expand. All his influences on me.
Nice.
Which, it was good.
Yeah, I'm pushy.
It was really good. I think it opened me up to a lot of stuff. More songwriting than anything.
That's great. And with the 100 and some songs that you have, how did you choose 5 for your forthcoming EP?
Christine's really good about finishing things, and I have
done.
They're all like it's missing.
She's the one with the job.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I think it was what really mostly inspired her, like the songs that inspired her the most, and I think that's kind of how we went through and picked those particular ones to do first. Like, most of those songs that I have are missing, like, this little piece doesn't quite work, or this lyric I'm not happy with. Like, sometimes it comes down to a word, and then it's like, I just don't want to do the song until it's... I know it sounds, like, insane, but it's just... When you stick that much time into something, and it's not right, and you feel that, it's very hard to want to get behind it and do all the things you need to do when you put out a record and play live and that sort of thing.
When are you expecting the EP to be ready, and how are you going to get it into people's hands?
By playing as many shows as we can, and I guess, the internet is a great tool, so we'll try to do that. But I think we'll finish it this weekend. I think we'll have it by the second week in March. So there's no, date set yet, but that's what we're hoping for. Certainly by our March 22nd show.
Well, cool. Well, would you and the squeaky chair like to play another song?
Sure.
Right on. We put these chairs in Kill Radio just to make people uncomfortable.
All right.
I'm going to bring some WD-40 my next show. All right. You're listening to Solari on Is Good on killradio.org.
We were robbed. Thank you.
You have a new fan.
Cool.
Coming through Kill Radio Station, our handle on AOL Instant Messenger. Andrew was asking who this was while you were playing, and that he likes it very much.
We're called Solari. I don't know if you message him back or not.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
wanted to make that clear. Oh, okay.
And I was like, I don't know. Just some guys that showed up.
Cool.
Yeah. So, again, everybody should go to myspace.com/Solari. Which is S-O-L-A-R-E, right?
Exactly.
And Solari3.net as well.
Correct.
And you guys have, the usual four tracks up on your MySpace page people
yeah,
can listen to.
Yeah. One of those is a cover that we did for the Failure Tribute record that's hopefully still going to come out. A lot of great bands on there, like the Deftones and A Perfect Circle. And
wow.
Melissa is doing a song for that. So it'd be a great opportunity for us for exposure, because a lot of fans of those bands would buy that. And also, Failure being one of my favorite bands, all of our favorite bands ever, it's a great opportunity to pay tribute to them.
Sure.
So,
Actually, it's got me thinking about other things you can do with your music. A lot of people that I've had on here, they haven't necessarily released any albums, but they've had their songs licensed for TV shows
right.
and films, stuff like that. Do you guys think of that being a part of Solari, maybe?
Absolutely. I'm not ashamed to license songs out to like commercials or whatever. I think it'd be a lot of fun, actually. It depends on the circumstance, but especially like film and some things that are more artistic would be great. But
sure.
Yeah, I think we'd be open to, to hear
product-based.
Any opportunity,
What would be a song that what would be like a commercial you wouldn't want your song licensed to?
Anything to do with alcohol, tobacco, firearms.
What if you were the Bush's third term campaign song? Would you guys tolerate that?
I think that'd be kind of fun, because we could probably use it against him in some way on the back end. So it'd be, I think that would be great.
He used the devil's music in his campaign.
yeah, totally.
Awesome. Well, why don't we play another track from the CD that you brought in?
Okay.
And then we'll say goodbye, because we're almost out of time.
Sounds good. This song is called The Story of the Moon, and it's our title track. And please enjoy.
The satellite, that moment we collided.
Solari, thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing your awesome music with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, John.